In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
So when our son Ben was in first grade, he was given a math worksheet on shapes and polygons. You know, which of these is a rectangle? How many sides in an octagon? One of the questions was, name a shape that has less than four sides. You got your answer? Our son had written circle, circle. Now, much to our surprise, the teacher had marked it wrong. In red pen next to Ben's answer was the word triangle, triangle. And I'm not blaming the teacher. I'm sure they lay an answer key down next to answers and do dozens of pages every single day. But it did make for an interesting conversation with Ben when he got home and was wondering why his answer was marked incorrect. Because while triangle is a correct answer, Ben's answer was also correct. A circle doesn't really have any sides. And last time I checked, zero is certainly less than four. I bring this up not to debate elementary geometry, but to draw our attention to that amazing shape that we call circle. In mathematics, circles have some interesting properties. The shape has the most efficient ratio of perimeter to area. What does that mean? It's to say that a circle has the greatest amount of area for the smallest amount of outside edge. If you have only so much fencing and you wanted the biggest corral possible for your animals, the circle would be the best shape to build. You're going to get the most area for the amount of fencing that you have. Plus the whole thing with that number pi, that unending decimal that begins, right, 3.1415965, right? It's a shape that has always fascinated humanity. But subsequently, it has also led to some deeply spiritual symbolism. When we see and use circles in Christian iconography and liturgy, we receive layers of powerful meaning. For example, eternity. Eternity. A circle has neither a beginning nor an end. Wholeness. A circle in liturgy and iconography indicates something that is complete. A circle, it gives to us the sign of unity, of coming together, because every point on a circle is equally distant from the center, the only shape that does that. And it's in this spirit of wholeness and unity and eternity that I turn to in light of today's celebrations. Today we prominently celebrate the baptism of Russell, a life that meandered and traveled both geographically and metaphorically within this state of Wisconsin, across the country, and indeed around the world, but always with an ever-growing hunger for communion with God. And now through baptism, through this participation in these waters, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what was once a meandering becomes walking in the newness of life, life with new purpose, life with new power. And a prominent element of the baptismal liturgy, one of its more visually striking acts, is the circular procession around this font three times. To our physical eyes, the circle we walked seemed to begin and end in the course of a minute or two, because we live in a physical world. But that's where the spiritual symbolism of a circle completes what is lacking for us. There is a deeper reality going on. Russell walking in this circle with the priest and the sponsors, led by the cross, reveals an eternal truth. Russell, you are entering a circle whose beginning is Jesus Christ, which is to say, a circle which has no beginning because Christ has no beginning. Christ pre-exists time itself. And it's a circle that has no end. To walk in newness of life is a continual turning toward divine light. And it is unending participation in the love and the power of God. When you enter the waters of baptism, you enter that pre-existing circle that began before the dawn of time and will continue long after time ceases. And it illumines and empowers the newness of your life. And Russell, it's a circle that has always had a place reserved for you. God knew today that this spot that has your name on it was going to be taken up by you. Now, a second circle gifted to us today can be found in the Feast of Pentecost. Today's celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all people. Some 800 years before the event itself took place, the prophet Joel foresaw the giving of the Holy Spirit. God said through Joel, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all people, the old and the young, male and female, landowners and servants. Everyone will be gifted with the actual divine breath of God given to them, living inside their own being." And this prophecy is fulfilled first on the day of Pentecost. The disciples are gathered in that upper room, both the men and women disciples, and it says the heavens are opened, and there's the sound of a rush of a mighty wind. And then the fire of the Holy Spirit rests upon each one, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just rested on with the Holy Spirit, it says they are filled with the Holy Spirit. That fire goes within them. And then that gift of the Holy Spirit is subsequently given out to the whole world, to everyone who's willing. The apostles go out and confirm the gift of the Holy Spirit on everyone who wants that gift, who is willing to receive that gift, who wants more abundant life. And the icon of Pentecost, we have one in the center of our church. We have one up here on this banner. I don't know if you can all see one of them. But in the icon of Pentecost, you'll see the disciples are seated in a circle. They're seated in a circle. There's that circle again. And the tongues of fire come resting on each of them. There's a common source for that fire, but then it divides. It's cloven, and it rests upon each of them individually. But notice the circle is open towards the viewer. The circle of those receiving the Holy Spirit is not complete until you take your place in it. The circle is not complete without you. And today, of course, Russell, you take your place in that circle in a particularly powerful way, because not only are you baptized in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but you have received the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit, an eternal and universal gift, yet uniquely given to you for your life and your walk. The tongues of fire were divided for each apostle uniquely. You know, Peter's was tailored for Peter. John's was flavored for John. Mary Magdalene's for who Mary Magdalene was. They came from a common source, the one God, but then the grace of God, the energy of God, tailored each one for each individual person. And therefore, Russell, the gift of the Holy Spirit sealed on you today is colored exactly how you need it for today in your life. And what we say about those original disciples and what we say to Russell today, we say to each and every one of us, we are all offered a place in the circle of new life. We are each, both universally and uniquely, gifted with the very same gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to the disciples with complete divine fullness. And this divine gift is tailored to the particular details of each and every one of us, of your personality, of your circumstances, and of your very life. Amen.